You know, people love to talk, don't they? People love to watch talk shows too. Man, I mean, there's some garbage on TV, isn't there? I don't watch none of that stuff. But even on YouTube, there is all kinds of channels out there of people talking and giving their opinion about what they think. You know, they love to share their opinion about a multitude of subjects. And most of the time, it's always really regarding somebody else, you know. That's their direction. They're always talking about somebody, you know. Or some are good and some are not so good, and some are just downright evil. That's the way I look at it. You know, and everybody seems to have something to say, and they want to be heard. You know, and I you know, my theory behind opinions is opinions are like armpits. And some of them just really stink, you know. And but did you know that the average American has 30 conversations a day and will spend a fifth of their lives talking? And in 1 year, if all your conversations were written down with just your words, they would fill 66 books of 800 pages per book. That's a lot of words, isn't it? On the average in America, a man will speak 20,000 words a day. Now, when it comes to women, it's only 30,000. So men are a little less, but most women speak a little bit more than men. Not much. You ever heard that saying, he or she's a silver-tongued devil? You've heard that before too, right? But I think there's also some of us were born with a silver foot in our mouth. I think mostly. We have the natural ability to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. I'm there a lot of times. Our mouths get us into a lot of trouble. And this morning we're going to talk about James. We're going to talk through James. James talks about controlling our mouths more than anyone else in the Bible. And so if you follow along with me as I read from James chapter 3, or you can read along with me. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take chips as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong wind, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursings, and my brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. We all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That's what James says. You know, James said, he says that if you can control your mouth, you'll be perfect. The word perfect there, though, in the Greek, when you look at the definition, that perfect doesn't mean sinless. You know, sometimes we mix that up. It means to mature or healthy is what it means. James tells us that to be spiritually mature or spiritually healthy, we must learn to control our mouth. So we wonder, why should we control our mouth? Why is it so important to control our mouth? Look at what James says there, or look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you want to follow along. Matthew 12, verse 36. And I didn't get this to Verna, but it says, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. Man, that means everybody. We're all going to be there on the day of judgment at some point. And we're going to have to give an account for every word that comes out of our mouth. Well, that ought to make you think a little bit about what you say right there, shouldn't it? I think that what Jesus is saying is that we'll give an accounting for not just for our careless words, but that we'll be accountable for every word that we speak, even the careless ones too. And that words are significant, aren't they? Words are so important, and with our words, you can build others up with your words, and you can cut people down. You can destroy a life with just a word. You know, I remember we used that rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But we don't live in that culture because names do hurt. People do get offended. People are not as thick-skinned as they used to be sometimes, I find. People are offended over just the slightest little bit. So we have to be careful with our words. We have to speak the truth, of course. I'm not talking about that. The truth is the truth. But sometimes it hurts too, doesn't it? Sometimes I feel like people come to church, they don't come to church because they feel bad when they leave or when they're there because the Word of God hurts their feelings. Yeah, but every truth can be turned into a lie just by twisting a little. Just watch ABC or NBC or CBS or CNN or any news, matter of fact. You'll see a twisting of things into lies all the time. We see it. It's all around us. And that's why Jesus said we would be accountable for the words which we speak. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why we should control our mouths. Reason number one, my words determine where I go. Your words have a tremendous influence over your life. And James gives us two illustrations. And so he says this in chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. He says, indeed, we put bits into horses' mouth that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires them to go. You know, a huge horse, even a Clydesdale, can be controlled with a bit in its mouth. In the ocean, you know, you have these big ships in the ocean, and some of them are just controlled with just a very small rudder that puts them in the direction. That word turned there in the Scripture, a horse is turned by a small bit, a ship is turned by a small rudder, your car is turned by the steering wheel, and your life is turned by the words that you say. Your words are the steering wheel of your life. And it is the guidance system. If you don't like the way you're headed, if you don't like that direction, then really a lot you can change what you say. There was a guy that joined a monastery. where silence was valued. And each new monk was given a probation period of 3 years. And at the end of each year, each monk was allowed to speak two words. So at the end of the first year, the young monk said, "Bed hard." In the second year, the young monk said, "Food cold." And at the end of the third year, the young monk said, "I quit." The head priest said to him, "That doesn't surprise me. All you have done is complain the whole time you've been here." You know, James tells us that the words we speak direct our lives, and we need to control what we say. And so I think about, why should I control my mouth? So I had point number two. My words can destroy what I have. So James says this in verse 5 and 6 there, chapter 3. "The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. And see how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." Man. It only takes a spark to get a little fire going, doesn't it? You know, a careless camper can destroy an entire forest in just one night. And a careless word can destroy a life. It can. It can destroy a person. I wonder how many people have destroyed their marriages over careless words, their careers, their friendships, their reputation over just careless words. How many of you know this saying, "Loose lips sink ships"? You ever heard that? That's a World War II saying. And if you didn't know, the military had a term for it. It's called OPSEC. Okay? It means we need to be careful what we say and what information we put out. Back in James, he says this in verse 19 and 20. "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Proverbs 21:23 tells us, "Watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief." Huh. If I need to speak up because of injustice, the Bible tells me clearly how to do it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love. We need to know the whole truth, not just the partial truth. We are to speak the truth in love, and we are also to use gentleness when we talk to others. That's what the Bible tells us. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And I know sometimes we're really good about being harsh. We're really good at that. And we're really good at stirring up anger with just a few words. So we got to be very careful how we respond to one another, especially to each other in the church. We really do. Because just from one word, one harsh word from my mouth, one wrong word from my mouth, somebody may leave the church and never come back. And not only come back to this church, but they may never go to church ever again because of something that I said. That's why I have to be so cautious talking with people. Using the wrong words can really do a lot of damage. It's that way in our lives outside the church too. We have to really be careful about what we say. Because we can build people up. We can lift them up, and the Bible talks about that clearly. We're here to encourage one another, to inspire one another, so that we may be able to go out into the highways and byways and encourage others. But if we come and all we are is talking discouragement, and all we do is talk bad about each other, that doesn't bring too much encouragement, does it? This world's full of discouragement. Like I said, you can't hardly turn on the news any longer and watch anything encouraging. It's all discouraging. It's always bad-mouthing somebody. It's always just a big mess all the time. And most of it's lies and half-truths. And so there's not much encouragement in this world. And why shouldn't we be able to come together here on Sunday, at least on Sunday, right? Come together and feel very loving and comfortable with each other and share with each other the way God would want us to share with each other. I know that some problems can be ignored and we can let them go. We do. We let things go. But other problems, they just have to be dealt with, right? And I'm not talking about that because, I mean, we have to deal with certain things. But there's a way to handle it properly, and there's a way not to handle it properly, too. So let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Every lady, too. Watch your words. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to know the whole truth so that we can share that truth with everybody else, that love that Christ put in our hearts. We have to be gentle when we answer and turn away from wrath and harsh words. And we don't want to stir up anger. So we have to be careful. You know, because the number three point here I had was my words display who I am. If somebody's always around me and I'm always talking bad, negative things all the time, then that's a reflection of who I am inside. James says this there, and he says, with our tongues we bless God, our Father, and with that same tongue we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. He said, my friends, that can't go on. Lord forbid that. You just can't do it. We praise God on Sunday, but we curse each other on Monday through Saturday. Well, you guys are quiet this morning. You know, the highest use of our mouth is to use it to praise God Almighty. Man, sometimes I quit singing because I love to hear you guys singing back at me. You guys don't get to hear that like I do. Everybody just singing and praising God. Man, I love to hear that. You know, if we could just spend an hour in praise and worship on Sunday and not worried about what time it is. Because literally, I've preached a long time. If you look at the clock back there, it's like 2:45. The battery went dead in the clock and it hasn't reset itself yet. So you guys, we've had a long day. And yet, sometimes we spend an hour praising and worshiping and laughing together, and then we get in our cars and the first thing we do is argue about where we're going to eat. You know. And we gripe about the things that we didn't get done this week. All kinds of conversations go on. Sometimes it's even about not getting the correct parking spot. I get to choose that when I'm by myself sometimes. It's amazing how quickly our attitudes can change, and I really think it's amazing how easily words can change their tone. You know, after being married for 34 years, I know exactly what one word can do or two words can do to a conversation. It could mean that, you know, it could mean that I may get supper, or it may mean that, you know, I don't. And it's simple, you know. So we try to avoid them, but sometimes we just don't, do we? We just can't help ourselves. It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right there in our mouths. You know, one morning, one moment we're, you know, one minute we're praising God and the next we're cursing our neighbor because he blew grass into our car or something. And it bothers me sometimes, you know. I really think about some of the things. Did I say the wrong thing? Did I encourage that person, or did I say something that may have discouraged them in some way? That bothers me a lot. I worry about that sometimes. You ever worry about that? Am I alone? I guess. At least there's three others out there that have that problem too. You know, Christians are to be a people of love, and God loved us so much that He sent His own Son to die for us. Amen?
Amen.
And if He was willing to do that, why can't we be willing to hold back our tongue and say something encouraging and not negative? Why can't we just love one another so much that, you know, most of us know John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world. You know, we know that scripture. It's kind of like, you know, even people who don't go to church know that scripture. It's so popular. But do you know 1 John 3:16? You ever read that one? 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." Man. That's a hard one, because are you willing to lay your life down for the person sitting next to you? Maybe if it's your spouse or your family, but what about the other person sitting behind you, or the person sitting, or are the people back in the overflow back there? Somebody waved at me back there. Are you willing to do that? He says we ought to, because of what Christ did for us. It's that important, right? It's that important. And you know what? This culture of society that we live in need to see people like that. Need to see people willing. There was a pagan community that had a church in it. And I'm trying to think of the pagan leader's name. He said that the Christian people in the community fascinated him because of the love that they showed towards each other. And it baffled him. And he writes extensively about that, about how much that the Christians loved each other. He couldn't understand how, why. It's because he didn't know Jesus, right? If he had known Jesus, then he would have understood it. So the highest use of our mouth should be to praise God. We ought to love each other so much that we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for each other, and we are to be willing to die for each other. And if we love each other that much, shouldn't we at least speak kindly to one another? I guess the truth of the matter is that the problem is much deeper than the words we say. James says it like this, in verse 11 and 12, he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. The problem goes clearly down to the very nature of our being inside, and to the very heart of the matter. In fact, the problem is really a heart problem. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have a problem. It's a heart problem. And the question is what's the solution for you and me? The solution is really to get a new heart. Amen? You've got to get a new heart because the heart is the problem. And God is in the business of doing heart transplants. Amen? And if you seek God, He can give you a new heart. When He gives you a new heart, things change in your life, don't they? The words that you say, the things that you do changes in your life. You begin to feel bad about and convicted about certain things, and you start to be conscious about what you say and how you say it. Love starts to take over in your life. That process happens. In Ezekiel, God has given us a promise here. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. I love that. Putting on a new... You know, if you put on a new faucet, it doesn't make the water taste better, right? It doesn't. It doesn't get the impurities out of the water. You need a filter to remove all those impurities. And I know a lot of people who have no filter. You know those people? And you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. And sometimes it's surprising, but sometimes you're ready for it. I know that they're going to say something. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our heart, a filter is placed on our mouths. Amen? It should be. And by changing what is on the inside, you can change what comes out. And that's the only way that there will be real change in your life. And I think so many times people go through the motions. They just go through the motions about going to church and maybe even reading their Bibles. They just go through the motions instead of really having a serious relationship with Christ. No transformation has ever taken place in their life because they've never allowed the Holy Spirit to filter their life. The New Testament there in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? All things have become new. Another thing is we need to ask God for help. Amen? I'm kind of like Paul. He says, I die daily. Why did Paul say that? Because he knew if he didn't die daily, before he ever pulled his head off the pillow, or when he crawled out of bed, he landed on his knees. He just rolled out of bed on his knees and he said, Lord, help me today. I give my life, I surrender it all to you because I know I'm headed out into this world and I'm probably going to get beat up, I'm going to get yelled at, I'm going to get kicked, I'm going to get cussed at, and I may even end up in jail today. And if I don't die out to you, if I don't have you with me, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to become Saul again. I'm going to be the old me. And I'm going to pick up a sword and I'm going to fight. I'm going to do something stupid. But unfortunately, sometimes we find ourselves doing that. Something stupid. I've said it, I laugh all the time. I said, you want to see stupid? Just sit at the four-way stop for a while. That's one of the best places to see. You want a show? Just grab some popcorn and go sit by the four-way stop and you're going to get a show. Free. And you may even have to go to court to be a good witness at some point. Because I'm telling you, I've seen some stupid stuff. I know I've told this story before, but I was sitting at the four-way stop a few years ago and a guy was tailgating another guy or something. He was supposed to go. The guy honked. You know, it was like trying to get the guy to go. This guy jumps out of the car. I mean, he starts cussing and hollering, jumps up on the hood of his car and jumping up and down. I'm like, I'm serious. I'm like, what is wrong with people? Yeah, absolutely losing it. You know, and that's why I said, sometimes we need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to control our tongue. Because there's times when people get in our face. There's times when we're approached by something in life. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. I need your help. One of my favorite posts on Facebook that I ever saw was, Lord, give me patience. Or give me bail money. I love that. Because so many times I've been there where I'm like, you know, you just want to grab a ball bat and go, right? It's just sometimes that's where your mind's going. Your heart, you know, you're like, you know, I can't deal with this. We need to ask God for help. We do. We need to ask God for help in all things. And I guess the greatest thing of all is our mouth. And David prays this prayer in Psalms 141. Such a beautiful prayer. He says this, post a guard at my mouth. God, set a watch at the door of my lips. Man, what a prayer. David was the same way. You remember the story? And I don't want to go too much longer. You remember the story where David had been, and after he had fled, he'd left because he was afraid Saul was going to kill him, you know. And so he was out and he was guarding the locals' sheep and herds and stuff like that. Well, he wanted payment. He asked him for some food, and the guy said no. And you remember what David did? When the guys came back and said, hey, did you get the stuff, you know, some extra food and stuff? And they said, no. The guy said, no. He didn't ask you to do it, so he's not going to pay you. And David said, round them up. Everybody saddle up. We're going. And I mean, he takes like 100 guys down there. I mean, he was mad. He was, what's he going to do? He was going to kill this guy. He was mad. And so this guy's wife comes out and stops David. It's like, I'm sorry, you know. I mean, that's such a story. I think about, man, David was ticked off. I've been there. When we pray, we need to pray, Lord, put a muzzle on my mouth. Guard my lips. Let me speak up at the proper time and let me be silent when I need to be silent, and grant me the wisdom to know the difference. And I believe that would save a lot of marriages too. It really would. So watch your words and ask God for His help. And think before you speak, which is something I try to do. Engage your mind before you put your mouth in gear. And James tells us this in James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James tells us to be quick to listen and even slower to be angry. So what's your word say about you this morning? What do they reveal about your character? If we could play back a tape of every word that you've spoke this last week, could I play it here in the church for everyone to hear? Would God be pleased? So James is telling us this morning that the only way to get control of your mouth is to allow God to have control of your life. So what is in your heart is revealed by your mouth. And Jesus even said that. It's not what goes into the body. It's what comes out. Is what tells you where your heart's at. So I pray as an encouragement. You know, James is in the Bible for a reason. He's pretty to the point. He tells it like it is, and that's okay. He's not being mean or hateful. He's just speaking the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? And that's something we all struggle with. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I have an accountability on my shoulders. It's like, I have to be better. I have to put myself in a place where I'm better. And sometimes I don't always display that. So I pray every day, Lord, help me, like David did. Put a muzzle on my mouth. Help me, Lord, today. So I pray this helps you today in your life. Helps you get a little closer to Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this great group of people that you put in my life. Lord, but help us to speak kind words to each other. Help us to be truthful to each other, but yet do it in gentle ways. Help us to be the church that when people look at us, that they say, man, those people love each other. And the only reason we love each other is because we know you. Lord, I pray that we can be that light in the dark world, that community that people look to. That we can be a great example because we're not like the world. We're different. And it's all because of you. That you were willing to lay down your life for us, for each one of us, that we would be willing to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. So let us leave today, Lord, better than we came. Lord, with your word in our hearts, your Holy Spirit overflowing inside, that's my prayer, that your Holy Spirit fall upon this place. Fall upon the hearts of each one that's here today. Lord, we pray for the anointing on Pastor Kim as he comes next week. Lord, that many will be saved. Lord, I pray this. Keep us and guide us and direct us in all that we do through this week. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.